Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer, a podcast focused on drums, drumming and drummers. I'm George Pickering and that's Ben Winty, and we are both professional drummers in this business we call music. So stick around and join us as we pass the time whilst trying to stay in time.
I was talking to my girlfriend this morning and I was like, yeah, I'll try and get an office quote in there. She was like, well, at least someone will find it funny.
For he's a jolly good fellow and for he's a jolly good drummer. George Pickering.
I never know what they're going to be. And that really threw me. Thanks. Thanks for that. Are you?
I'm just spitting truths, mate.
How are
spitting you? The weekly truth.
Weekly truth.
Yeah, I'm good, man. Check out my football shirt I'm wearing.
That's good. For the listeners of this podcast, it's hard to say. I can't see what club it is.
New York Red Bulls.
Oh, okay.
Because I went to New York, baby.
Let's get a picture of that and we can put
we'll get
that
a
on.
Picture on it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got a guest today, which we haven't had this year yet. This is the first one of the year. Jack Hickling.
Yes. Big fan of the podcast, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I won't delve into how we met because I talk about that on the pod, you know? So instead, I'm going to talk about a gig I had.
You had a gig. Gig with Ren.
Gig with Ren.
The kitchen suppliers.
Do you know what? She even joked about that at the gig. She was like, look up This Is Ren on Instagram, not Ren because it's kitchens. Yeah, it was a good gig.
Just the Ren Kitchen social media. People could say this. We did a bloody good gig on that.
Yeah. People keep tagging us and like, yeah. So I just got to talk about this gig because it was quite funny. Everything went wrong. But I sort of loved it because...
Where was it?
Edge of the Wedge. So already...
First thing that's gone wrong. There it is.
I'm thinking... Because, right, so listeners...
It's a shit venue, isn't it?
Well, it's not just that, but it's...
I just don't like
a
it.
Little... No, I don't either, but it's the box room next to Wedgwood Rooms. And it's like, after you've played the Wedgwood Rooms, to play there feels... It's the harshest come down ever. So...
Reasons I don't like it, George.
Yeah, go on, shoot.
Reasons. It's a corner stage.
Yep.
That's just awkward for putting a drum kit in the back of a corner, isn't it?
Yep.
Two, sound shit.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, that's enough reasons. Yeah, a bunch of stuff went wrong at the gig. I mean, it's one of those things where we're using quite a high-tech playback system now, but still, it's a small venue, and it's a thing where it's 15-minute crossover, turnaround, whatever. So we're setting it all up, and we get it going. I can't list all the things that went wrong. It wasn't anything bad. It was like, at one point, our bassist came in a bit early, so it's like, okay, let's solve that, you know. And then I'm not putting him down. He's a lovely guy and a brilliant bass player. But it was like, there was just like little moments like that. Like then Millie's click cut out, aka Ren. And then she was like, George, I need you to keep me in time. So for all the songs that where there weren't drums, I was just tapping on the hat. Something else, I can't remember. I feel like I had a few things. Like there was just, but I had such a good time, because I was like, one, if things are going to go wrong, this is the gig to do it. You know what I mean? Like, we've had some gigs that felt like quite important, like, you know, like her own headline show or whatever. But this was just, we were just supporting a band and there wasn't too much to it. I feel bad about calling out Mikey there on his bass thing. It wasn't bad at all. It was just basically the click came in. It was a bit early, but it's fine. Yeah, her pack just completely stopped working. She had no ears. Not no ears, but no in-ears. Her ears were still there. And she was like, right, let's not do the last set because we really need track for that. Let's do our cover song that isn't to track. And this is good. So Duncan, afterwards, the guitarist, told me that as she said that, he was like, fuck, I haven't played this since last year, you know, because it wasn't on the set, you know. Yeah. And it's like, we sort of go through the whole song. It's basically the same thing. And then it goes to this last bit where it's like a four chord thrash out bit. And he told me after the gig, he couldn't remember those, what the four chords were or where they were or anything. And it was the funniest. It was my favorite thing because it all drops out and then it's just him. And he was trying to work out the chords as he went along. And it was like, he's sort of playing up the neck. It's like, da 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 da. Like, oh, there it is. And I was just laughing. I love stuff like that because it's just like, no one really cares. Like, if you do something, if you're shit, if you're
that's
really.
That's live music for you.
This is live music. If you do stuff that's noticeably shit, then it's kind of like, okay. But if you say to the crowd, look, here's the deal. Our tracks have stopped working. So we're going to do a different song. No one would ever go, you know, oh, well, you know, at that level. Do you know what I mean? Say yeah. If you're cold.
Oh,
I
want my money
like,
back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I love no it
refunds.
When something goes
clearly
wrong.
Clearly states, no refunds.
Exactly. But I had a great time because it was like things went wrong, but it was a real test for the band to be like, right, how do we solve this? You know, Mikey's coming early. Right. Well, let's make sure we all come in at this bit or like, you know, whatever. I feel like I'm really slating him. I'm not. It was just, I'm just saying what happened. Just telling the truth. And we spit truth on this podcast. That's probably enough about that. It was just a fun gig because a few things went wrong. And, you know, we were like, we have gigs and it's all fine. So it was like, this is good. That was us under pressure and it was great. So, yeah, that's it. We got a guest. I met him very quickly. I mean, the turnaround was quick. I've said this on the pod. This is the quickest going from meeting someone to having them on. Yeah. Anything you want to say about Jack before we start?
Jack's been a listener of the podcast for quite a while.
Yeah.
He's messaged in a few times, which we've read out. He's been back. He's listened to the whole catalogue.
Yeah.
And they say never meet your idols, so maybe his opinion of us has changed.
Yeah.
Let's go. Here's Jack Hicklin.
Brilliant.
Look at that. He's all set up with a mic himself.
Yeah. I mean, this is also my secondary mic. Like, I tried like a proper audio mic like this morning, which also wasn't working. So, and like, I just don't have much technical knowledge going past the turning it on and off again. And that didn't work. So I'm on this one.
You look like you've trapped yourself into the corner, Jack.
Yeah, I have a little bit, to be honest. Like I set myself up on the table. This is kind of like my little music corner, I guess, like where I'm like just writing set lists and stuff like that and bits and pieces.
Is this your sort of drum room then?
No. This is my dining room, basically. But this is kind of like a little corner, which we haven't finished yet for like music stuff.
Nice. What's in the frames behind you?
That's a band called The Loveless. A friend of mine, Matt Hector, plays in with Mark Almond.
Oh, okay.
I just thought it was quite cool artwork. And that was just a shot of me at a festival a little while ago.
Nice.
Yeah. Had to pay £30 for it, though.
That's taking the piss.
Yeah. I came off stage and the photographer was like, I've got a great shot of you. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'll take it. He was like, yeah, it's £30 then, please. I was like, signed up for it now.
Yeah. It's a bit like if you ever do... We'll get on to fitness because I found out from Pat yesterday. I mean,
it's a natural, organic.
Yeah. We'll get on to fitness because I found out from Pat yesterday that you're a tennis coach.
Yes. Yeah.
well intrigued about that. That may be most of the questions I have. But if you ever do like a run or something, afterwards you'll get an email from the marathon people and it'll be like, here's your photos, but they'll have watermarks all over them. I'd be like, if you want them, it's 70 quid. And you're like, oh, do I want a picture of me running, you know? And the answer is always yes.
Yeah.
Got to show someone. right. So I'm going to start by saying this is the quickest turnaround of having a guest we've ever had. I don't even know you. Well, right. You were someone that messaged in a few times to the podcast.
Yeah, I was. All cards on the table. I'm a massive fan of this podcast. I was actually annoyed when you said Thursday morning because I was like, well, when am I going to listen to the episode this week?
I love that.
But so actually just, genuinely like appreciate coming on. Yeah, it's...
It's all good. But yeah, so you messaged in a few times, sent some lovely messages from your account on the Beat Drums. We'll get to that. But then it was actually our drum teacher, Pat, who said, oh, I've got a friend who... Well, a student who
and a friend.
As I said that, that's
two are mutually exclusive, aren't they?
Yeah.
I would be friends, but I am teaching you drums, so
yeah,
tricky.
We're friends for £50 an hour. But no, he said, oh, I got a student, a friend who is interested in learning more about Ableton, and then I messaged you, and then it was the next day, I think.
Yeah, we linked it up pretty quick, didn't we?
We did. And then I was like, do you want to be on a podcast? But, I mean, let's talk about that, first of all. Ableton, because, you know, it can be a bit of a... It's a love-hate relationship, learning
it.
So what? Why did you need to...
That's what I was going
to... Reach out to George about it. You said something's coming up and you need to use it?
Yeah, so I've got... So I'm playing for an artist called Georgia Crandon. And we're going on tour... starting March 1st, so we're going to do like a 10-day run in the UK, and then in April we're going to Germany. And so with George's gig, the lineups always kind of, there's a core, it's like Georgia, me on drums and a guitarist, so all three of us play, but then some gigs we might have a bassist, some gigs we might have a sax player, and organizing those backing tracks like individually every time to go on SPD is just so time consuming. The idea was like with Ableton, we could just have all the stems, and if we didn't have a sax player, we could literally just press one button and mute it for that gig.
That makes sense. So how did the gig come about?
That was I started depping for Georgia. I got quite an interesting story about the first show I did with her. But yeah, it basically started as a dep, and then like her drummer, for whatever reason, like a couple of months later, just couldn't do it anymore. So kind of worked out really well for me actually. And I just kind of jumped on and carried on all the rest of the shows.
Yeah. Nice.
And that was in, maybe like August this year, maybe a little bit earlier.
Fair. Right. You bypassed, I have a funny story, and then just carried on.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Lay it
so
on
yeah,
us.
I mean, so the
you can't
first
just say gig, I have a funny story and then just not tell
it. So the first gig I did with her was it was a headline show at the 100 Club in London. So already I was a little bit like, fuck, that's quite a big show. Pretty nervous because I'd like, her songs are really cool. Like there's some really different like musical parts there, not just what you'd kind of like expect. So anyway, turned up for this rehearsal. We were playing on the Saturday, and the guitarist was also a dep as well. So we rehearsed on the Friday, but I think he only knew like three songs in the set, and we had like 10 songs we had to play. And I just came away from that rehearsal and I was like, yeah, we're not ready for this. Like yeah. I was hoping to like, cause obviously you go to like a show, especially originals, you're like, oh, I'll try and feel the rest of the band and figure out what they do there because I'm not sure about that part. But it was literally just like the whole rehearsal she was just going, do you not know this one? And he was like having to learn these parts like as we were doing it, and I was just like, yeah. So but then
was that
anyway,
solely on them just being underprepared?
Yeah. Like I think he'd literally learned like three songs and then maybe had a couple of listens to all the rest, which was quite it was weird because at the time I was in a pressure situation as well. So I was like, I want to get my stuff right. And I didn't really realize until after that you just hadn't prepared really. Mm. So when I got back that night, Georgia gave me a call and was like, yeah, he's not on the gig with us tomorrow. My other guitarist has depped his gig out and he's going to come and drive back and play it. So I was like, okay, like at least I've got two people who are knowing what they're doing.
It's such a wild thing that to just, I don't get how people can do it, because it happens more than you'd think to turn up to rehearsal and not know the stuff. I think it'd just be the most embarrassing thing, you know, to do.
I can understand it. I don't like it, but I can understand it with function work.
With
covers. But original stuff, if you're put on it, man, like, yeah. I don't know if this is a, but it's always bloody guitarists. Yes. The fucking arrogance. Yeah. And I don't know whether it's just a drummer thing where we're just more like, no, we don't know. It just seems.
I mean, there's a sense of drummers prepared. As well. If I don't know the songs, then they can't.
It's fucking obvious.
Yeah. But it is so obvious. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Like it was, but it was actually quite an uncomfortable situation, because I was like, it's the first time I've played with Georgia. So she's also making a judgment on me.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, well, like, am I sounding shit as well? Like, do I not know the parts? So I was like, no, I do. Like, I've learned it. But yeah, so it was, it was quite interesting. But luckily the gig went pretty well, actually. Like,
when was the gig?
That was on the Saturday night. So this all happened.
As in like when, like last year or?
Yeah, this was, recently? I think it was about, I think the first gig I did with her was probably around like late July, mid July last year. Yeah.
So how many gigs have you had between then and leading up to this tour? Been quite regular or?
Yes, it's been quite regular. Yeah. It's, I'd maybe like between 10 and 20, I would say. Cool. So she's kind of got, well, there's kind of like two parts to it. So she's got, I think I mentioned to you last week, there's like a residency in cocktail bars she's got up in London called the Nightjar. And that's like twice a month on a Thursday and Friday. And they're like a lot more stripped back. So it's kind of like kind of jazzed up versions of like mainstream tunes and just some of her original stuff. It's all kind of like on brushes and hot rods. And then she's got her like full band kind of like go for it gigs. It's really, really nice to kind of be on board with a project where my job is just to kind of turn up and make sure the drums are good. Like I don't have to worry about anything else. Like she's got management, all that kind of stuff. So it's actually quite a nice gig for me to be on.
Do you think you'll be ready for the tour with Ableton stuff?
Man, I hope so.
Come down to Brighton again. We'll just do it. We'll just spend the whole day. We'll get some food in, you know.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. Yeah, I might need to. It's weird. I mean, I'm sure, because obviously you've done all this, I feel like maybe like 6 months before me. But I think you started from scratch, didn't you?
Yeah. I think, I can't remember when I started, probably like summer or something. But it was the same deal. It was like I had a gig to aim for and it was like, right, I'm going to do everything by then. But there was also the sense of like, but if I don't, I can just do it on SPD. You know what I mean? I can just do the way we used to do it. But I think that's the perfect way to do it, to have a goal. If you know you're going on tour in March, it's like, fuck, I have to, you know, got a month to learn. You know. But it's like, but that'll make you learn it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's I guess where there is that deadline. I mean, to be fair, I'm still waiting for, I think George is still waiting for all the, because she's just bought out a new album. So I haven't got all the stems yet. I think she's waiting on her label for that. But we're due to get those like start of Feb. So hopefully, I'll have enough time to get it all together.
The shortest month of the year.
Yeah.
Could have done this in August. This 31 day. Although it's a leap year, isn't it? So you do get an extra day.
Yeah.
You got no excuses.
Yeah. I mean, thanks for bringing it up, guys. I'm putting a smile on my face, but I'm literally losing sleep over this.
Yeah. You will. Strap yourself in, boy. Right, I want to ask, this is kind of my main question I wanted to ask. We're about the same age, you and I, and I feel like there's a lot of similarities. Right,
leave me out, cheers.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're all vaguely born between 1980 and 2000. And so you sort of, I mean, I was talking to Pat yesterday, he said you started lessons again last year, but you know, been playing drums and stuff, and you sort of told me, you know, sort of taking it, I don't know if more seriously is the right way of saying it, but like, but you know, sort of similar. I just wanted to ask what your, I don't know if journey is the right word, but you went to BIM like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess carried on playing in your 20s, but then I assume there was a turning point or something where you went, oh, I want to do this a bit more seriously. Yeah. Is that right? And what was it?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate, to be fair, mate. Yeah, I obviously went and did drums at BIM, which was cool. I think for me, I was probably a bit too young to really make the most of BIM. Like, that sounds really weird, but like at that time in my life, I was just like really interested in just having a good time and like didn't really. So like, yeah, I did really enjoy BIM, but I kind of, you know, just made the most of the social element as well. And then I kind of left and then started tennis coaching. I was like, okay, this is like good money. So I was like, okay, I'll do that for a little bit. But yeah, and I had like function bands on the side. I had like originals bands on the side, and I did that for like quite a few years, for like maybe even like 5-6 years, maybe even more after I left uni. And I enjoyed it for a little while, but I think what started to get to me was like, I just felt like I'd let my music slip. Like I was just in a kind of like, I just did the gigs with my function band. I did with every weekend, like all the time, the originals gigs, we were starting to play the same venues. But also like with my job, I just didn't have the time to like really get better at the drums and like practice and put the time into it that I needed. And I was doing like some crazy days. Like I used to do like get up at set, like work at 7 a.m. on the tennis court till 3, and then like stop and then go and drive to a gig and then just like get back at like 3 in the morning.
Mm.
And I was just like, I just wanted to give music like for the first time in my life, like the priority. Mm. So in April last year, I really chopped down all my other work. So I'm kind of just doing 3 days a week, a little bit of tennis coaching, a little bit of drum teaching. And then the rest of the time, I've just decided to kind of give it a go and get as busy as I can, really.
I got some tennis questions.
Yeah.
How fast can you hit a ball?
My fastest serve, this would be like 3 years ago now because my back's gone, but like 130 miles an hour.
That's pretty quick, isn't it?
That is quick, isn't it?
Oh, God.
I mean, like, I wouldn't be doing that like all match, but like if I needed to, yeah, I could probably get up to 130.
Wow. I want to ask about your tennis stuff because I didn't even know this till Pat told me.
Yeah,
were
sure.
Were you
man.
Always playing as a youngster, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I think I started when I was like 6 years old, and just kind of, it was like what I did as a kid. Like I started tennis at 6 and I started playing drums when I was like 12. So like tennis was always first to music. Yeah, just played loads, like all the time, like did loads of tournaments and stuff like that. And yeah, I had good fun, had really good fun. And then I got a couple of injuries, so I stopped for a while and got back into coaching and playing. And went over to Malta to play in their national open, which was quite fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, tennis, for me, because like it's played such a big part of my life, but I'm also kind of really, really happy that I'm able to just do a little bit less of it now.
Mm. I guess it's one of those things, if you want to really be a pro, you have to really go for it, you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
It's kind of like, this is kind of what I look at music as well. There's so many similarities between like, even if it was just a different skill, but like, yeah, with tennis, you've got to be like playing, I think minimum like five times a week, 6 times a week.
Yeah.
I was playing in quite a good league a couple of years ago, and we had guys who were like, literally just, I think like someone I played was like 600 in the world. And I was literally just like, you're so good. Like, yeah, even if I play the best I've ever played, I'm never going to beat you, because they're just like, they're on the money, their fitness is there, their timing's there, everything's 5% better than yours, and you're just like, okay. I think it was when I played that match, actually, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm not actually gonna be able to put the time in to get any better than this. So
I think it gets really underestimated how good pros are.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like, and just because I played football once with a ex,
I was waiting for this
footballer.
Story.
Yeah, and
who was the player?
It was Darren Huckabee.
Nice.
And he was like 40, 41.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it could destroy anyone at will. And he wasn't even like top level.
Yeah, yeah. Did he do it like he wasn't breaking a sweat as well?
Yeah, yeah. So it was a stag do event, and you could book a footballer to come sort of play with you. And the guy whose stag it was a big Norwich City fan.
Mm.
So they booked this football pitch. And yeah, and he came down and played, and basically, like, I was on the same team as him, and it was 1-0 and then 1-1, and then you could see, as soon as we went a goal down, he just turned it on, and we were level. We were level within 30 seconds. Like, he just could control everything on that pitch out of everyone.
Mm.
And then speaking to him and the guy who was with him, who looked after him, you know, he was talking about all the other players that they have and stuff, and
that they basically go for the first 20 minutes, just be involved,
and then you can just let loose, because they'll just destroy anyone.
Mm. And it was ridiculous. And then you think to, like, you know, how good you have to be to get to that level, but then the level above and play for a top six team and then the international.
It's absolutely ludicrous. And we sit here watching on the telly shouting at him saying, "You're shit."
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah.
And I imagine, with tennis, yeah, you play someone who's
even still only in the top 600.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the world.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I had it once. Yeah, go on, Jack.
Oh, you go, mate, you go.
No, I was going to say, I had it once. Me and my mate started playing last summer tennis. So it was like just all these musos. And some of them are just out of shape because they haven't, you know, done any exercise since PE at school or whatever. And we were like, let's just play tennis. And we were all sort of round about the same level. And then our friend Dean just went, "Oh, I'm going to bring another mate in. He actually does play tennis." And then we did it properly. We had a leaderboard every week, and it was
nice,
like,
nice.
And it went from, like, me and this guy, Jim, were like the same. We were sort of top of the leaderboard, and then they'd be like the same at the bottom. But then as soon as this guy came in, no one could beat him. And it was just like, oh my God. And he wasn't, you know, he'd never done a tournament or anything. Point being, when you come to Brighton and we do Ableton, let's have a match, you know, and then we'll see.
Yeah, sure, man. Yeah, 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 yeah.
See who's the
have you found there. any crossovers from tennis that have helped you in drumming? And not just physically, but like, any
discipline,
competitive
maybe.
Yeah, discipline, competitiveness, anything?
Yeah,
like
I think so. So I coached quite a few, like, good young performance players as well in tennis. I don't anymore, but I think just the process of, like, mastering something. So, like, say in drums, it's a, you know, you're mastering the Moeller system. Like, if I kind of, with tennis, you know, if you need to learn a new skill, you've kind of got to really strip it back to basics and find out what is the thing you're actually trying to improve. Because a lot of the time you think there's so many other things which can get in your way, which you think are the problem, but they're actually completely fine and they're not. And it's like, not until you drill down and find the exact, like, technical error, or if it's like a grip change, same with drums as well. But yeah, I think it's just the approach to learning something new and just having the patience to, like, to work through it step by step without kind of getting frustrated if you don't see that outcome you want, like, straight away.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are there anything that
hitting cymbals backhanded?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's it like? What's that guy? Sugarfoot, the guy who used to drum for
That's mental, isn't it? I think he's dug in too deep with that now. I think he knows it's silly.
Yeah. I mean, what and if he hurts like, his shoulder? Like,
yeah. Just, every comment section on any video now is someone being like, there'll be one comment that says he's done this too much. He needs to stop. And then the immediate comment afterwards will be like, yeah, we played for Michael Jackson. Did you? You know, and it's like, well, that's a good point. You did play for Michael Jackson, you know, but that is it.
Yeah.
That's the gimmick. I was going to say, teaching tennis, anything that you bought from that into, you mentioned you're teaching drums now. Anything?
Yeah, yeah.
Not directly, obviously, but you know.
So I think one big thing for me has with teaching has been a massive part of like creating a relationship with the player or student. So like, I mean, I've made so many mistakes in my tennis teaching career, like just kind of jumping in too quickly and being like, oh, this, we need to do this technical change. But actually I think like connecting with the student, like, so finding out, like literally how their day's gone, like what's their energy like today, kind of striking up a bit of a relationship as to their interests, and then kind of figuring out what personality they want to be. So like with drums, you know, it's I don't want to sit there and like go through songs which people hate. Like how I learned, I was like, my teacher was just like, what do you want to play? I was like, oh, I quite like this guy, I quite like this band or whatever. So I think just the, you know, rather than jumping into technical stuff first, like having the best relationship possible and knowing your student as much as you can so that they kind of like feel like they can get on with you. Mm. And I feel like that helps them learn quite a lot better and yeah. diffuses the tension as well sometimes. Because I think as a teacher, you don't realize it, but you can come across quite scary if you're like, right, here's a click. They'll play these yeah. eighth notes to this time, and they're like, don't know yeah. what to do. You know, it's yeah. So I think just that teacher player or student relationship is really important.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You first wrote into the podcast via Instagram.
Yeah.
How did you discover this podcast?
So, I mean, he's been mentioned a lot already, but it was actually your interview you did with Pat. So I, so I, but I literally just saw it on his Facebook. I think he put like a little clip in. And I listened to it and I was like, oh, this is pretty good, you know. And then just went back through the episodes, made my way all the way back. Like, I'm actually that person who listened to episode one after they'd listened halfway through.
That's wild. That is wild.
I mean, like, because to me, like, today I was like, yeah, man, I'm on Drum and Drummer today. Like, I'm not kidding. I genuinely listen to this podcast each week. But, like, what did you want to achieve with the podcast? Like, do you feel like you're actually doing something, or what do you think about it?
I love when guests ask a question. Go on, you go, Ben.
Well, you dried up a question, so I thought...
Yeah, I know. Cut that out.
I think it's striking a balance, really, because... I think we had to go into it going, if no one listens, then do we enjoy making it? Mm-hmm. And me and George have always just chatted about this sort of stuff anyway. So there's not much difference there. But I think pushing through the, all right, episode 34, episode 35, just almost like a slog of going, just keep doing it every week. And then... gradually, and then it's just like, oh, someone's messaged in that we don't know, or someone's the listener numbers have just gone up a bit, or so I think. But I definitely think there was a turning point where it became like, oh, Ben and George are mucking around doing this thing, to, oh, there's some legitimacy to this podcast. It is weekly. They've now, you know, getting guests on, and it's. And I think it can be the same with, even with like starting a band, or that, oh, you're doing something new, and then it suddenly becomes a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That you kind of then get associated with, or that even just becomes part of your weekly schedule, or, you know, things like that. And I think, but it's also trying to be like, not be disheartened if the listener numbers are the same or they drop a little, or... you know, that sort of thing. But I'd like to think we've got some good stuff to say about drums.
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe we're not taking it too seriously and trying to be like an education podcast history podcast, or it's just a bit of realism with it. And I think if we're still enjoying it, which I certainly am, and it is great just meeting lots of different people. It's good. And I think, we're finding now, like, you just see on the Instagrams, oh, these people are followed by all these people, and we've spoken to a lot of them. And if we can be like a little sort of hub, and even just, I don't know, just if people enjoy it, great.
Yeah.
I think it's a good platform. Like, I enjoy talking about stuff. I enjoy finding something new out or sharing my opinion on something. And I just try and make George laugh. That's it, really. Give him something. Every week, you know?
Yeah.
Look after him.
Be well sad. No, I think the main thing was not expecting anything from it. I think that was crucial, because, I mean, you know, Ben and I have both played in bands. We've all played. Everyone that's been on this podcast has played in a band that's done some music, put it out, and hasn't done anything, I think, you know. If you're a drummer, you'll have had some sort of, I don't know, history of that. And we thought, well, let's just put it out and not expect anything. We didn't expect any money, didn't expect anyone to listen. So then everything is a perk.
Yeah.
And I quite like feeling our way of like, well, let's try this. And I quite like all the things that we changed, you know, like we didn't have an intro on the first episodes, and we, you know, we used to take breaks, and we used to like, and we stopped doing that, or like, you know, we didn't used to edit it as much. You know, there's one interview with a guest that was nearly 2 hours, and it was like, okay, let's try and make them an hour. And like, and just all these different things. It's like each week, sort of like, right, well, what can we do not differently? And maybe not each week, but just keep trying new things. And I think
it's got lots of room to evolve, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I think also there's no blueprint of how to do it. You know, I think that's the most exciting thing. You know, it's sort of like, it's not like being in a band and you can go, oh, well, that band did that, so we'll do that. You know, this is a podcast, and there's not really many drum podcasts, you know. Certainly not many that put out
an episode. Funny.
every week or as funny. You
know. Yeah, I'd agree with that, to be fair.
But yeah, but I think, yeah, just don't expect it much. So then everything is great. And I think a few more things, like no one has, there's no rivalry with anyone. Like as in, you know, if I meet drummer mates, they'll ask me about it, or any people. Whereas if you talk about gigs to some drummers, there can be a sort of, sometimes like a sense of jealousy or something, like, oh, what gig are you doing? You know, and you think like, I don't know. And it's like, how did you get that gig? Or how, you know, like not, whereas the podcast, it's like, there's none of that. Cause it's sort of like, we're in a sort of like realm of our own. Yeah, I think it's just, and just, but that's what's exciting. Don't know what's going to happen. And last thing is the guests. My God, you know, we just sort of were like, well, we'll start having guests. And now it is the best thing because it sort of solidifies knowing that person. You know, there's so many people I vaguely knew, and then you chat to them for an hour and then you ask them about their life. And then it's like, after that, you feel like you're mates with them. Do you know what I mean? It's like 90% of the drummers I know now is because of this, and like 100% of them I know more because of this. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, how can that be a bad thing? So let's bring it back to you. Otherwise, I won't stop talking about myself.
Yeah, let's move it on to, you mentioned in your chat with George before this about not hearing back from auditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one particular story. Talk us through that.
So I won't mention the name of the band, but Bold it was play. A... So basically the UK's leading tribute band for whatever band they're trying to replicate, and I applied for like a gig, an audition, like post through Facebook, like they listed everything out, and it was like 100 shows. There was like a 2-month tour. There was like shows in the Middle East and stuff, and the money was really good, and I was like, oh wow, cool, like I'll chuck my like videos over and stuff like that and go for it. And yeah, I managed to get down to like the last two, and I was like, oh, like cool, I'm actually in with a chance here. So kind of like,
can you just talk us through the audition process? So it was a Facebook post, and it asked you, had a checklist of basically things, and then it asked for video submission.
So they asked for live videos and also show reels, and they basically said the more stuff you, and also pictures as well, like high quality pro pictures. So it was like, the more you send me, the more likely I like want to hear you play. And it was, and obviously you had to kind of like include your availability, where your location was, and all that kind of stuff.
And then did it move to a physical audition in person?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So like, I didn't think I'd got anywhere, cause I didn't, and maybe I should have just taken this as like a little sign to come, but I didn't hear back from him for a month, and then like out of the blue he just sent me this like really long email and was like, oh, like, yeah, I've listened to all your stuff, sorry I've been really busy, but like looks really really cool, can we get you in for an audition? And then so I organized a phone call with him, which was like probably like an hour long, and he like sent over a list. Well, actually no, he said he was going to send over a list of songs. And then that took him 2 weeks. So the audition was, it was one main tribute band and then another tribute band. So the same guys, but playing two different projects. So I had to learn a bunch of songs for the first set, a bunch of songs for the second set. I think it was like 6 songs each, but that was kind of really, really tricky because he sent me loads of videos of them doing it live, which was fine, but they were all like recorded on phone quality. So a lot of the time you couldn't really clearly hear what the pushes were, what the drummer was doing. And so I was kind of stuck in between, well, do I, and also some of these bands had loads of different drummers in them as well. So I was stuck between, well, what drummer do I try and emulate on the record and who's recorded it and stuff. And like, do I then try and do it exactly to how they play it live. So I didn't really get much direction in it, which was quite tricky in itself. So I just kind of had to kind of like make the best of what I thought was the best way to play it. And then, yeah, I went for like a 2-hour audition. Like it was a couple of hours drive away, played with the band, and it went all right. Like, but there was definitely that you're never going to nail an audition 100% anyway. But there was definitely like stuff in there which I was like, ah, fuck! Like now I hear it and it's live. That's totally what they were doing, but because those video quality things weren't that good, didn't always pick up on it. But I thought the audition went like 90% well, with like 10% of things like, okay, that can be tightened up, but like it was all good. And yeah, basically never heard from them again. Like literally nothing at all. Like left me on blue ticks. And I put like, it was like 2 weeks between the phone call and the audition. And I put in like so many hours to get like ready for this. And I was just like, yeah, it's just kind of, I remember speaking to Pat about it. I was like, is this normal in the music industry not to hear from someone? And he was like, yeah, unfortunately it is. So that was that story.
It's draining, isn't it? Have you done many auditions? How do you prepare for them? And what do you think is important for an audition?
I think not looking at it as like as all in one go. I've done a few auditions for like for function bands. There was one originals band which I did an audition for, which I didn't get. I think it's just kind of like categorizing what you've actually got to learn, and like being like, okay, so what are they after? And then like, so song by song, obviously chart out all the like I just write out, I listen to everything first if I've got time. Like I'll just have a listen to it and then I'll go through and I'll do the structure. And then I'll go through and do any parts which I'm like, okay, there's a stop there, or this groove changes, or there's a little time signature change there. And then I'll just work through that framework basically. Because I think in my younger days, I'd have just been like, just tried to play them all one after the other. And then that's almost less like completely the worst thing you can do, because you don't actually, like by the time you got to the end of like 6-8 songs, you've forgotten what happened in song two. So yeah, I'd say that's kind of how I approach it.
Any challenges you've faced since getting back into, you know, taking it seriously as a drummer?
I think there's been quite a few. I think just balancing your own personal journey. I mean, like, obviously I've been working on some stuff, some like technique stuff with Pat, which has been really, really helpful. But then putting that to the side when you're gigging, because like obviously you don't want to be thinking about your technique when you've responded to an ad and being like, oh yeah, like I'll do this, like I can come and play. And then also just like putting yourself out there and connecting with people. I think like I made the decision to kind of like go a bit more serious with drumming like pretty abruptly, and I probably should have given myself more time, but I didn't really have many gigs in the diary when I made that decision. So I kind of ended up messaging like maybe about 100 people for like gigs, auditions and all that kind of stuff. And I probably heard back from like 20 people out of that. I maybe even messaged more than 100. And out of some of those 20 people, 5 might have just been like, oh, thanks, mate, but all sorted now, or you're not what we're looking for. And then like 15 people would be like, oh, not sure. And then like, so I think it's keeping your confidence up even when you don't hear back from people, or you know, your gig diary's looking a little bit quiet, and just trying to push it and keep finding a new way to like make new connections or get on different gigs and stuff like that. I think that's probably been the biggest challenge.
It's tricky because it is, you know, otherwise no one knows you. You know, I'm going to a few birthday parties over the next few months, and it's like, part of me is like, oh, that'd be fun. But another part of me is like, I know there'll be musicians there, and like, who can I talk to? Who can I get on the pod? But it's tricky because otherwise no one knows you. And I think I told you, my friend Connor messaged me once and just said, well, I did tell you this because we were joking about, is this the desperate way to get gigs? But he messaged me once and was like, hey, man, this is before I was mates with him. Just so you know, I'm a drummer. If you ever need a dep, let me know. Mm-hmm. And then after that, whenever I needed a dep, he was always, you know, top of the list. Because I thought, well, he's actually gone. I want gigs. Give me some gigs. Because otherwise,
people
might not know.
I always think a lot of the time, social media posts or connecting with those people, I find this at the studio as well, it's just reminding people you exist.
Yeah.
That's so much of it. Mm. And it's no coincidence that something gets posted on studio social media and then a week later a band you haven't worked with for 4 years be like, oh, we've got a new song, we want to come record it. You know, they're like, oh, they're still... And we find it, you know, I don't know if you've had this, maybe you had it with tennis as well as music, but family, relatives will, are you still doing the music?
Yeah.
And I remember someone saying to me, like, oh, they go, oh, are you still recording? Or, and I said, yeah, they're not trying to be insulting with it. Mm-hmm. They haven't seen you for a couple of years. People change, like jobs, people change careers. And also, they just don't know if you are still doing it.
Yeah.
But if you are posting content and things, it reminds them, oh, they're still doing that. Oh, they're doing this. Oh, that's cool. You have to be careful not to go into the spiral of, oh, I wish I was doing that and I hate my life because someone's doing a great gig.
FOMO.
Yeah. But this ties into to that audition for that tribute band. When it asked for submitting videos, did you already have these videos prepared? Or did you create anything new for that submission?
No, I actually kind of... So I had my showreel, which is mainly function band stuff. I want to do a new one of those anyway at the moment because I recorded that like a couple of years ago now. But so I had that, which is all kind of like...
I know a studio.
But I might hit you up actually because I'm starting a new function band project and we are looking for somewhere to record. So...
I'll drop you a message podcast, after this. So,
yeah. Tell me all you know. one of my other projects, Wake Up Leo, which I've done quite a lot of stuff for over the years. It's quite heavy. Well, it's not heavy, but like indie rock, like atmospheric kind of stuff. And we've been lucky enough to play on like a couple of all right festival stages and. O2 Academy Islington. So I actually just like chucked a load of videos from there, of even if it's just my camera, like on a tripod, and it obviously looked all right, I guess. So I just kind of went through my back catalogue of stuff and just chucked. But it's weird though, because, and this is another thing, like you always just put your best stuff out there, like in a 50 minute video where you've played a set, you choose a 40 second part where you're like, yeah, this is really cool. And and you're just like, and you just go, oh no, that's a bit boring, or I wasn't playing the best there. Like I think you got to be quite careful with social media as well. Cause obviously everyone only posts what they want people to see. But yeah, so I think I went off on a bit of a tangent there.
Yeah, that was great. Ben's got a question about Wake Up Leo.
Go on in.
I was scrolling through your Instagram and I saw you playing for different people, and I saw this Wake Up Leo, and then I clicked on the band's tag, the band Instagram, and it's obviously the guy Leo.
Yeah.
He's a BBC journalist or radio presenter.
Yeah, he is, man. Yeah.
And so, has that helped? It's new hit single of the week.
Yeah.
My own band.
I think he's like, it's in his contract that he's not allowed to like promote it too much. But I know for a fact he did get one of our songs as the background music to the traffic updates.
I love it.
That's great.
Like, it was, I think this is a little while ago now, but I think it was like on primetime traffic updates. You just in the background, like da 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 da. So he's. I think he keeps it quite professional. To be fair, like I feel like he maybe could use his standing a lot more than he does. So I think he's quite respectful of it.
Yeah. Well, we've just had an email in requesting my band. Thank you very much for emailing it.
Anonymous sender.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Should we move on to our final question?
Well, let's do it. Yeah.
Kind of, Jack, who's your favourite delivery company?
Now, that's quite an interesting one because I don't know if it's a specific delivery company around here or all the drivers, but everything just turns up broken. Someone tried to send me, like, you know, those Moonpig, like you get a bottle of beer and then like the glass in the little gift sets. They tried to send me that 3 times. And like each time I just pick the box up and you just hear a clink. You're just like, ah. So I really like, I think DPD, just because you know what time they're going to deliver, and like 95% of the time they deliver it at that time. So
it's the window.
Yeah,
it's the window.
Yeah.
The
window.
Yeah. The window. I mean,
I'm sick of saying it, but it's the window.
Jay Sikora was the one to say it. Give me the window, as he said, you know.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite delivery company is Just Eat because it delivers food. If we're going like official stuff, then DPD.
Well, as you know, it's not, it can be whatever you want it to be, Jack, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your order? What's your number one order on Just Eat? What are you going for?
Man, it depends what kind of, I've been doing a lot of Mexican stuff recently. Like I've just been really into like burritos and chipotle and stuff like that. So actually after that audition, I think I just needed some emotional comfort. So I ordered like a huge plate of nachos and like a huge burrito and just kind of ate myself back to normal. So yeah, nice. I'm going Mexican and chipotle at the moment.
Yeah, fair.
Any bad delivery? Well, I mean, you sort of said it, the Moonpig thing, you know. Sounds like delivery is pretty dire.
Yeah, and I think half the time I miss deliveries anyway. So I'm like, I don't have my notifications on my phone on half the time. So like, I'll just like go to leave in the afternoon for teaching or whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, there's something here for me. Like,
yeah. Too busy practicing your backhand and all.
Yeah,
that,
that's, you know? It. That's it. Yeah, yeah. If you want any lessons, mate, to get higher up in that league, if it ever starts,
honestly,
again, just,
in the summer, you know.
I think I owe you a few ones for helping me out with Ableton.
Yeah, when you've done your
bit
tour.
Bit of Ableton, bit of tennis. Oh,
I'd love to have tennis lessons. I want a bit of a lesson hype, Jack, you know.
Nice.
Croissants last week, pizza on Monday, you know.
You did pizza, I haven't heard about that yet.
No, well, get ready.
All right. Keep listening.
Yeah, keep listening. If that's not an incentive to listen.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh no, honestly, yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Really great to meet you, Ben, and it's just been a pleasure to chat and come on. So yeah, thanks for having me.
There we go. Not just a drummer, but also a fine tennis player and coach. I'd love to play him at tennis.
It makes sense when you see him on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was watching his videos and looking through, and then you said to me, oh, he's a tennis coach. I went, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Well, Pat said it to me yesterday. I sort of mentioned him, and, you know, I mentioned how, he sort of got back into drums. Pat said, oh, yeah, he's always played the drums, but he's been a tennis coach and quite a high level. And I said, oh, my God, yeah, of course he is. Look at him, you know.
He's lean. He's wiry.
Yeah.
He's athletic.
He's a good-looking lad. Good-looking lad.
He wears Alessi T-shirts.
Yeah.
A cap backwards.
Yeah.
Something I cannot pull off at all. Just caps don't suit me. I've got a head shaped like a butternut squash. It doesn't work. I'm a beanie boy. You know that.
There you go. Yeah, I do know that. I don't think we need to say anything else on it other than it was nice to meet someone that's listened to the pod. I think makes it easier, you know what I mean? Rather than like... Yeah. So what's this thing you guys are doing?
Yeah, just knowing you can drop a Madeleine McCann joke in and they won't get offended if you need.
Yeah.
Because they've heard, you know, they know the score.
Yeah, he stayed with us after that, you know, and hopefully he continues to, you know, stay with us. Yeah. And I'll keep you updated, listeners, on our journey with Ableton, because I feel like him and I are now going to be Ableton and tennis buddies. Ableton... I think we both want to
do
tennis.
Sorry, I just had a brainwave.
Whether he likes it or not.
I get these brainwaves, George. You know, it's up there with Sivwok. Yeah, it's up there with the fajita tray, right?
Yeah.
It's up there with displaying the speed your car's going on the back of the car to publicly shame you, right? I just thought, oh, if you and Jack started your own podcast, you know, because you're going to become good friends and play tennis and do Ableton and, you know, you're both 30, nearly 30.
Yeah, I'm 30, basically.
You're going to leave this old man out in the cold. And then I just thought, what would your podcast be called?
Yeah.
And then I thought you'd call it Unableton.
Yeah. Really good.
A podcast about your journeys learning Ableton.
Yeah. I like that.
And you sit there going, how'd you do this? I don't know. Let's Google it. And that's sort of the premise.
What about game, live, set, match? No, it doesn't really work. But you get what I'm doing. It's like Ableton.
I like it. I like it. That would be an episode title, I think. That would be a good episode title.
Yeah. I was trying to think of more.
Yeah.
Trying to think of more.
Just must Saturday. that's all good stuff. It's all good stuff.
It is. It's all good.
Have
work.
You got what you got? What you got coming up? Anything?
I mean, I've got exciting? A pizza making course.
Oh yes, yes. Do you choose the toppings, or do they give you?
I don't know. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. That's a good question. I always go for four cheese. You know. So maybe it'll be that.
You're veggie in it. What's the see what the general consensus is to pineapple on pizza?
Yeah, okay, I'll ask. Yeah,
float it about. See where the room lands, because I'm all for it.
Yeah,
but I know, you know, there's a lot of people against it.
Well, I'll see also how many toppings I can put on. You know, before they go, that's mental. That won't fit in the oven. You know.
Yeah.
Pile it high. Yeah. No. You got anything?
Yes, one little thing actually. One little thing.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. So I'm looking at popping down Graham Russell, go see the big man, the big G. Not God.
Big G. No.
But Graham
Russell. Although to a lot of shoppers,
I would put my faith more in Graham than a deity I've never seen.
Yeah.
Because I've actually met Graham.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a big, big lad, and he has a presence about him.
He certainly does.
That, and I do see Graham Russell, the shop, more the closest thing to me as a church.
Yeah, yeah. Than and an I mean, actual, you know, if you're in the market for a symbol,
they've got loads of altars with like. You know,
hang on, I've got another one. If you're in the market for a symbol, is that almost a stairway to heaven?
Good.
Do you know what I mean? To get to the
because the symbols are upstairs.
Yeah, the symbols are upstairs. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you see him.
Yeah.
Big GR.
Yeah, so I'm going to go down because I'm going to look at getting these, reskinning my Toms.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm going to do a full top and bottom. I'm going to get a new kick skin because that's now just quite old. Nothing wrong with it, just quite old. Recently reskinned the snare, but Tom skins, and I'm going to go back to a one-ply Rezzo and switch up. And I'm tempted, George.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to go back, give Remo a go.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, I'm going to see.
Yeah, good.
But I'm also thinking about a new drum store.
Oh, yeah.
As well. That's one thing I really... That's like the next big thing I think I can upgrade. And I'm looking between the Rock and Sock and the Ahead Spinal G.
Mm.
And maybe once I've got that, we'll do a bit more of a deep dive into drum stores.
Yep.
Because when I last went in there, I just sat on them all.
Mm.
And I cannot tell you how good it felt sitting on... the Ahead Spinal G.
Really?
Oh, my word. And it's got a backrest, something I've never had before. So we'll do that later. But I was thinking also, well, what other things could I possibly upgrade in my kit? Where are the weaknesses?
Yeah.
Maybe. And my double kick pedal is fine. It's a Pearl Demonator, I think. But I was like, let's have a look and see what else is up there. I know Sam Sanders has got that Yamaha one, which is very nice, with the bits of blue. And, but in my search, I found Tama have just released a couple of new Iron Cobras with a dipped marble finish.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'll send you some pictures.
Bit. Yeah, send me some pics.
So basically all the metal bit, the plate.
Yeah.
The sort of upright struts. I don't think it's the actual pedal board, but all the big chunky metal bits.
Yeah.
They've got these two sort of marble finishes. And they're quite something.
Wow.
And I really think there'll be a Marmite for people.
Yeah.
But we'll put some pictures up. But they do look appealing. The one problem is I hate Tama. So I don't know if I'd go down it.
You know, you weren't a Sabian man, and then you changed.
That is true. That is true. And I have to go in with the open mind. So maybe I'll have a. I don't think they've got any in stock, but the pictures online look quite trippy.
Yeah.
As it were, a bit Kieran Trippier. And so that's what I'm going to be looking at my next sort of kit investments. So there we go.
Nice. Like it. There we go.
Other than that, do work.
Thanks. Thanks once again, Jack, for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And I'll let you know how our tennis match goes as well.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of more tennis puns. Anyway, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Drum and Drummer. You can find us on Instagram at Drum and Drummer Podcast. And you can send us an email to drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Remember, just pick up the sticks and twat it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.